All right, guys, if I can have your attention. Yeah, believe it or not, I'm not going to ask you to move from the back up to here or anything like that because you're fine where you are. Not every time, but this time. Guys, I thought it was interesting yesterday that our speaker talked about prayer. And I thought it was also interesting that the president of the college and the speaker said, man, you really struggle with prayer. I don't know how many of you guys struggle with prayer as well. I mean, I've heard students say, man, you know, sometimes I'm praying and it's kind of like, I don't know, is God really there or am I, you know, just thinking thoughts? Or sometimes I've heard students say, man, when I'm praying, my mind wanders all over the place. Anybody else do that? Mine does. I wrote in a journal, man, I should have brought that, but I wrote in a journal one time and I headed it up with ADD Christians and I was out on this men's retreat. I was actually speaking at this men's retreat. And so we had this quiet time and I was out there and I'm like, oh God, I'm so glad to spend some time with you. And then I was like, listen to that bird. Man, that bird's really loud. And then I was like, no, I need to focus God on you. And then I'm going, hey, why are those guys walking over there? It's supposed to be quiet time, you know, and they're walking. I wonder what they're talking. No, you need to focus, Whirly. You know, focus on this. And then I'm going, those guys have coffee. Where did they get coffee? You know, and I'm like, no, man. I'm so, oh, God. You know, I'm going, I wonder if there's a snake around here or something. I mean, my mind, anybody else like that? You know, and I said, it's like ADD Christian, you know, because I'm like, man, I want to focus. I've done this thing where, you know, we bow, you know, we're on our knees before God, and I'm just like, oh, God, I just want to talk to you. Man, my knees are killing me. You know, and I'm like, God, I just want, ow, there's a cramp right there. Man. Or, you know, if I'm laying before God, I'm going, this carpet smells funny. I mean, you know, I am totally attention deficit disorder guy, and so it's really hard to focus. And frankly, it's hard for me sometimes to focus when I'm talking to somebody. You know, I was just talking to Blaze, and we were talking about an incredibly important thing. Most of you guys, or you might have heard that Blaze's dad had a heart attack. And not only that, but then it's followed up by another heart attack. And so he is, man, you know, and I'm talking to him, and he's telling me this, and different people are walking in, and I'm having to really focus on what he's saying, because I'm going, hey, Bianca, cut her hair. You know, I'm doing stuff like that because ADD, and we have ADD Christians. You know, guys, sometimes, and then we start to doubt ourselves or doubt God. You know, I'm wondering if he's really there. Does he really listen? And do we hear his voice? Do we hear him? Do you know the voice of God? You know, or do you confuse that with your own voice, your own thoughts? Those are all questions that I've had. In John, the 8th chapter, Jesus says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. They know my voice. And I'm like, really? Do we? Do you know the touch of God? Have you ever felt the touch of God? I know the touch of my kids, you know, my behemoth son, the oldest one, you know, he's like, hey, Dad, breathe. And I'm like, put me down, son. This is slightly embarrassing. You know, I know his touch. I know the touch of my second son. When he was younger, he was a just skinny, scrawny guy, and he would come and hit me, and he'd give me a hug, and man, it was almost like his bones would cut into my neck, and I'm like, hey, Zach. My daughter, when she was little, it was kind of like one of those hit things. Boom, Dad! And I'm going, okay, well, you got to be careful. And all of that stuff. I know my wife's touch. I know that. But have you felt the touch of God? Have you heard his voice? Do you recognize his voice? And sometimes that's very difficult. in all the chaos. When my kids were little, it was so much fun. It was kind of like, human tricks, you know, where you get around parents or grandparents and they're like, hey, watch what my kid can do. You know, watch this. And I had this whistle. Well, I still do, but, you know, I'd have this whistle and all these kids would be playing, you know, and they're playing in the dirt or something. And I'd whistle, you know, do this whistle and three heads would pop up. And I'm going, that's my kids, man. They know my voice. And Scott Spees, the head of the Worship Arts Department here, when he was a missionary in Russia, we'd want to call him every once in a while just to encourage him, just to talk to him. And I would disguise my voice. You know, he'd pick up the phone and I'm go, Zdravstvuyte, Scott. And he's like, hey, Mark, how you doing? I was like, dude, how did you know? You know, or he'd pick up, Privyet. And he'd go, hey, Mark. Man, it's so good to hear your voice. And I'm going, what are you talking about? There was a Russian woman in Moscow. She's kind of a babushka, a grandmother. Serafima was her name, and she loved my sons, cooked for them, called my oldest son Poinchik, which means it's like a donut, you know, a fluffy donut. And they just loved each other. And you know what? I would get on the phone with her. She couldn't speak a word of English. I couldn't really communicate in Russian. But it would just bring tears to my eyes to hear her voice. Are you with me? Have you heard the voice of the shepherd? Have you heard his voice? You know, have you listened to him? Have you stopped to do that? In the next few minutes, we're going to do just some different kinds of things. Yesterday, the speaker talked about, you know, how do we pray? And I don't know if you got this, but he only said one thing, you know, pray about prayer. Did you remember that? Pray about praying. And I was like, okay, man, and I wrote that down. Everybody thought I was texting and stuff, but I'm writing that note down. And then I'm going, that was number one. What's number two? Did you guys notice there was no number two? You know, I'm going, okay, I want to know more about prayer. You know, I'm an old guy, but I want to know more about prayer. I want to know more about listening to God. I want to hear the voice of God. I want to hear Him. Quite a few years ago here at DCC, we had what we called a concert of prayer. I'd love to do that again sometime, but here's what would happen. We'd sing a couple of songs, and then we would pray. You know, the two of you would pray together, and everybody's praying out loud. It's kind of weird at first, kind of like what we're going to do today. It's going to be a little weird at first, but, you know, the two people would pray out loud with each other about each other's lives, and for example, one of the times that we prayed was about personal integrity and strength, and so it was so awesome. We had two people pray, and then we had all of the women in the room get up and go to where a guy was sitting, put their hand on his shoulder, and pray for him that he would be a strong man of God, that he would be powerful. And then the guys all stood up and went to where the women were and placed their hand on their shoulders and prayed that they would be strong women of God. I tell you, it was just unbelievable. And then at the end, we would say, okay, everybody pray about being people of integrity and God's people. And man, you could hear just this, it was almost like this, when you're talking about concert of prayer, you could hear all these voices, and it was just this incredible thing to God. And then we said, okay, now we want you to sit and just listen to what God may be telling you about your life. And for some, it's like, we're supposed to sit and listen? Yeah, just sit. And it was amazing, some of the transformation that took place in the students' lives when they took the time to listen for the voice of God. So, one of the spiritual disciplines, and that's a part of what we're talking about. Man, we worked on this. There it goes. one of the spiritual disciplines that we talk that need is very rarely talked about is meditation, because we think, oh, that's like mystical, that's spooky, that's weird. No, if you read the Psalms, David constantly says, I meditate on your word night and day. I meditate on your precepts, those things that you want from me, God. How did David become, he's talking about it yesterday, a man after God's own heart. Man, he pursued the heart of God. How did he do that? Well, part of it is just simply through meditation. And so there's a variety of different forms of meditation. And guys, again, this may stretch you a little bit today, but we're going to practice some of these. And you're going, we're going to practice some of these. It'll be okay. You're not going to stand up and do jumping jacks, okay? But we just want to get an idea of how can we focus more. Karate Kid, focus on your focus. Focus on your focus. Isn't that what he said? Isn't that the line? I can't remember. The newer one. Anyway, guys, that's what we want to do. And here's where we're taking some of this that we're going to share with you. In the early church, there were those people, those men who were called the Desert Fathers. Read about them in history. In church history. And these were guys who so desperately wanted to come into contact with a deep relationship with God that they would go out into the desert and they would just spend time meditating on God. They would spend time focusing in on God. And how did they do it? When you heard the guy, Mr. Butts, speak yesterday, man, he's talking about praying for 48 hours. At one point, here at DCC, we had several students who just did this student-led thing where they met here in this chapel and they prayed all night. And I thought, no way. And I'm telling you, I came in here and I started praying with them and listening to the prayers and focusing in on God. And sometimes, they'd just play the piano and sing a prayer to God, a variety of different things that they would do in here. And man, it was just a time if they wanted to come and pray, man, you could hear the prayers. And I thought, oh, it's going to be a long time. I'm telling you, I'm not a night person. I'm not a vampire like some of you guys. But these guys were praying, and the next thing I knew, it was 2:00 in the morning. I'd been praying with them for hours. And I thought, wow, it's just gone like that. When we focus in on God and others, when we start thinking about it. Early on in my ministry, we had one of those 24 hours of prayer, and I went into the, I signed up being more righteous than others. I signed up for 2 half-hour segments, because I just wanted everybody to know, look, I'm righteous. And so I went in, and man, I'm praying through everything. And then I thought, well, nobody's knocking on the door. Somebody surely is going to come to the door. And it had only been like 20 minutes. And I was going, dude, what did Jesus have to pray about so long? When he's in the garden or when he's out with God. How is it? Let me tell you, if you started praying for the different people in this room, it goes like that. The need, the prayers for each other, the prayers of the saints. And by the way, I love Romans or Revelation where it says in heaven right now, there's bowls of incense that are being stirred by the prayers of the saints. Well, all right, let's talk a little bit about different forms that these desert fathers did and how it may be able to help us to focus. Okay, so here we go. The forms of meditation. One was a breathing type of thing. Basically, it's a matter of getting very relaxed, and we're going to try this. It's getting very relaxed. And what they would do to maintain focus, instead of their mind wandering, they would do one or two kind of breathing things. One is they would breathe in the spirit and exhale self. In other words, and we're going to practice this, okay? Guys, it's a way to focus, all right? So here's what I'd like for you to do. Kind of get relaxed. Try not to go to sleep, but get relaxed. Don't think about the person around you. Just get relaxed, okay? And here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to prepare your mind to meditate on God. You know, just say, man, at this point, I want to focus in on God, okay? And guys, legitimately try this, okay? Close your eyes. And I'm going to walk you through just kind of a visualization thing, okay? So you need to close your eyes. And here's what I'd like for you to do. Try to tune everything else out. And I'd like for you to visualize in this room the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is just hovering in this room. Okay? However that looks, visualize that. And here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to breathe in through your nose. Just breathe in. And as you're breathing in, I want you to visualize breathing in the Spirit of God. Just breathing in the Spirit of God. And then exhale through your mouth. And when you exhale through your mouth, think about, I'm exhaling self. Maybe sins, maybe things that would keep me from hearing God. I want to get those out. And I want to breathe in the beauty of the Spirit in this room. And I want to get rid of stuff of self. Okay? I want you to do that just three or four times. Focus on the Spirit of God being in this room and breathing in the Spirit deeply. Exhale. Get self out. Just do that several times. Breathe in the Spirit, the beautiful Spirit of God, and exhale self. Pride, self. Relax as much as you can so that you can truly breathe in the Spirit of God and exhale yourself. Okay. Open your eyes. Look up here. What did you think? Is that weird? Okay, who said weird? Josh, you said weird? How so?
I don't know. I felt like I just had my eyes closed and I was breathing.
Okay. Bianca, what about you?
It's just not something I'm used to.
Yeah. We're not used to meditation, guys. We're not used to meditation. All right. Anybody else? What'd you think? Yeah.
I liked it.
You liked it. Why did you like it? Okay, you focus that way, okay? Who else liked it? Yeah, why'd you like it?
I found kind of a peace in it, you know, to really believe that the Holy Spirit was, you know, in the, I mean, it is, and to acknowledge it.
Yeah, the Greek word for spirit is pneuma, which means wind. The wind of God, the breath of God. Yeah. Okay, anybody else? You got something out of that. You enjoyed that. Why, Logan?
It was different. It was outside of my comfort zone.
Okay.
I didn't expect it.
Okay. Don't expect it. Hey, if your mind starts to wander, this is a second exercise that they would do to help focus, to help keep them focused. Again, they would breathe in, and they would just simply mouth these words, not say them out loud. They would breathe in, "Oh, Lord God, have mercy on me." It's just a way, you know, that if their mind started to wander, they would bring it to focus and they would just say those words. They'd breathe in, same kind of thing, breathe in, "Oh Lord God, have mercy on me." Okay, so we want to try it. Let's try the Desert Fathers practice, okay? So, once again, get relaxed. Close your eyes. Try to focus in on Christ. So when you're relaxed, focus. We want to focus on Christ. And so breathe in through your nose and just even mouth those words or say them to yourself. Oh, Lord God, exhale through your mouth. Have mercy on me. Do that about 3 or 4 times. And just use that as a way to focus on Christ. Let's do it. Just relax. Focus on those words. Oh, Lord God, have mercy on me. Use your breathing to help you focus. Okay, open your eyes. So what'd you think of that one? Is that different, Josh? Yeah. Yep. Anybody else? What do you think? Was it weird? Was it helpful? How many of you it helped you focus? Okay. Maddie, how did it help you focus?
It reminds me of in worship when you choose one verse to repeat over and over again. And you can just focus on that and praise in that. You don't have to focus on lyrics and getting
Yeah, you know, sometimes what we focus on is saying the right words to God. Oh, Father, I lovest thou with all my... You know, no, he's our Abba. He's our Father. And so, you know, sometimes we're so distracted, like I was saying earlier, ADD. Another way of meditation is, and this sounds weird, but communication, a prayer is communication at all times. In other words, you have a running conversation with God. Now, let me ask you, ladies, if your boyfriend said, hey, let's make an appointment at 11:30, and let's make that appointment at 11:30 so we can pray, or we can talk. And so we're going to talk at that time. If we're walking down the halls, no, we don't want to talk. You know, because that's not the appointed time. Now, ladies, how would you like that? You know, guys, how would you like your girlfriend to say, look, I'm really sorry, but we can't really talk in the halls because I need to focus on other things. So, you know, we're not really going to talk in the hall. What we're going to do is, you know, we'll talk at the appointed time. Guys, would you like that? No. No, if you're walking down the hall, right? You're walking down the hall, you're like, I love you, baby. I love you too. You're so awesome. You're so awesome. No, you're more awesome. I mean, you know, that's what, and I'll call you, I'll text you as soon as I get in the classroom. I mean, that, right? You know, you have this running conversation. Why do we do something else with prayer? A part of meditation is that our minds are always on Christ. So in other words, if I'm walking down the hall and I'm thinking about finances, I'm like, Lord, you know, we got to figure out something with finances, Lord, please, you know, help me. Okay, that's just walking down the hall. Or it might be, you know, walking down the hall and I see Vanessa and I'm like, God, be with Vanessa. Give her strength. Move in her life. The things that we've shared together as brother and sister in Christ, be with her. God, thank you for Bianca. I'm so glad that she's here. Brucella, God, I thank you. I mean, I might be looking at her. I'm going, thank you, God, for that incredible spirit. God move, you know, in JJ's life. God move in his life. You know, that those are all, and who's the focus of all that? God. You know, you're having a running conversation with God. Why? Because he's your best friend, your first love. And so your mind is on him, you know? So the focus is different. You get that? So in other words, that helps you to keep your mind on Christ the whole day. I asked Dr. Halen, you know, I just asked a group of guys. We were at a Bible study, and I said, how do you guys deal with temptation? And one of the guys said, not well. I'll never forget what Dr. Halen said. He got pretty emotional. He said, you know, I wake up in the morning and I think about Jesus. That's meditation. Waking up in the morning and you think about Jesus. You know, and you keep him on your mind. You pray constantly. You know, it's a running conversation with God. It's just a great thing. And then, guys, we're gonna this is gonna take a little time, but I want to finish up with this. Then we're gonna have some discussion and stuff like that. Lectio Divina is reading the Bible in a different way, reading the Bible and meditating on the Word of God. If you read Psalm 119, it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your Word." He says, I meditate on your precepts. I meditate on your word day and night. You know, I meditate on that. Well, how do we do that? This great theologian, I love this guy. He says, the word of Scripture should never stop sounding in your ears and working in you all day long, just like the words of someone you love. And just as you do not analyze the words of someone you love, now that would be kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, you know, one of the things that a boyfriend and girlfriend, you know, you always move to that next step, and that's the L word. You know, when you say, when that L word slips out, it's like, oh, what did I just say? You know, now if, look, ladies, if guys are a little harder to commit. So if guys would say, I think I love you. It's like, you think? I mean, you could analyze that a little bit. You could analyze that a little bit. But in the long run, I mean, you know, ladies, you know, guys lose all, you know, manliness, you know, when they're walking away from you after hearing you first say, I love you. They're not like, yeah, I'm a manly man. They're going, dude, she said the L word. I think she loves me. Ba-da-da-da-da. Okay, that's a song. Never mind. It's an old song. It's wasted on you guys. Okay. So accept the word of Scripture and ponder it in your heart. Something like that. As Mary did. That's all. Do not ask, how shall I pass this on? But what does it say to me? Then ponder this word long in your heart until it has gone right into you and taken possession of you. Man. Guys, when we run across Scripture, President Rubeck was reading in Galatians. He said, Galatians 4:18, he says, the promise, you're a child of a promise. And he sent me, he just pondered on that all day. And you know what he was thinking about? You. He said, Mark, at some point we got to have a message in chapel on Galatians 4:18. He said, man, I wish that these guys would know how much a child of promise you are and what that means and the responsibilities and the joys of that. I love Ephesians 1. I'm adopted by God. I'm his child. Galatians 3 tells me he loves me. I've lived a life of a lot of people not having love. What got me through it, he loves me. He loves me. Man, you meditate on those scriptures. Psalm 32. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer day. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Oh, I have a lot of guilt in my life. But he forgave me. Wow. You know, I want to meditate on that, right? I want to meditate on that. I want to meditate on Philippians 3. You know, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. Man, I want to do that. So, how do we do Lectio Divina? Well, you can do this in your own walk. Lectio Divina, first of all, you choose a passage and begin with silent preparation. So I've chosen a passage, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this Lectio Divina, okay? Well, I'm going to read the passage, but here's what I want you to do first. I want you to prepare yourself. You know, if that's that breathing exercise, whatever that is, I want you to prepare yourself to hear the word of the Lord. And then what I want you to tune in on in this passage, key words. You know, what word stands out to you? What concept stands out to you? Okay, I want you to listen carefully to this passage that I'm going to read. But I want you to prepare yourself first, okay? So just relax, okay? Relax. If you need to close your eyes, but don't fall asleep. Okay? Relax and prepare yourself. And part of the way to prepare yourself is simply just to simply say, Lord, speak to me. Through your word, speak to me. Okay, are you ready? Okay, prepare to hear. Listen for the word. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." Now just reflect on that. What one word stood out to you? Okay, I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to read it again. See if the same word stands out to you or another word stands out to you. So prepare yourself to hear the word of God. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he turned to his disciples and said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Think about what I've just read. Meditate on it just for a few seconds. What word or words stood out to you? Meditate on what you've just heard. Now, here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to turn to a person around you and just whisper, not speak loudly, just whisper the one or two words that stood out to you in that passage. Just the one or two words. Just whisper that to them. Go. Okay. What are some of the words that you said? Just name them. What are some of the words? What? Compassion?
Harvest.
Harvest? What?
Healing.
Healing.
Send out workers.
Workers.
Helpless.
Helpless. Good news. Good news of the kingdom. Shepherd. By the way, let me tell you just briefly a couple of things about those words. Compassion, when he had compassion on them, means that literally his stomach hurt for the people. The literal translation would be his bowels churned within him. He hurt. That word, helpless, it means that they are so far down, they've stumbled and fallen and don't even have the strength to get up. That's what that word means. That word harassed, it means that they are bothered with the cares of this world. Sheep without a shepherd, they don't know which way to turn. They don't know where to turn. Okay, I want you to either close your eyes or prepare yourself again. I'm going to read it one more time. Once you listen, maybe another word stands out to you. Maybe another phrase stands out to you. Okay? But I want you to prepare yourself however you need to. Breathing, focusing. I'm going to read this passage again. I want you to listen. Meditate on the words that we read. The words of God. So prepare yourself. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he turned to his disciples and said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Meditate on that passage. What words stood out to you? Okay, now what I'd like for you to do is once again, turn and just whisper. Maybe it's a different word. Maybe it's the same word. But just whisper to the person around you what one word or phrase stood out to you that time. Was it different? If it's different, then share that. Go. Okay, I'm going to read this passage again. And you go, what? No, we're going to read it from a different perspective. Here's, I want you to prepare yourself to hear the word. And ask, as you listen to the word of God, I want you to ask this question, what is it in my life that needed to hear this word today? What is it in my life that needed to hear this word today? Or, where am I in this text? Okay? You need to prepare yourself to listen to the word. You know, ask God to speak to you. Okay? So prepare yourself. If you want to close your eyes, if you need to relax, however you need to do that, but focus in on the question, what do I need to hear in this passage. Okay? Prepare yourself. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Okay, take a few seconds, reflect on what you just heard. What is it in your life that needed to hear that passage today? Okay, I'm going to read it one last time. There's a couple of things you can think about. Is there an invitation or a challenge for me to respond to here? Is there a response? By the way, this passage changed my life because I meditated on it. Or is there an invitation? Rest in God and resolve to let this word live in you, to comfort you, to challenge you, to move you, to give you peace. However, whatever this word from God needs to give to you, prepare yourself for that. Okay? So prepare yourself to listen to the word of God one last time. Okay? However you need to do that, relax, breathing, so that you will focus on hearing this word. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "Oh, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Meditate on those words. Is there an invitation or a challenge for you to respond to? Is there something in there that helps you to rest in God and resolve to let the word live in you? Take a few seconds, meditate on that. Okay, what did you guys think? What did you think of that exercise? Longer? But what did you think of it? Anybody? How many of you thought it was weird? Anybody think it was weird? Okay, why did you like it, Blaze?
It really allowed me to focus on what was said taking place.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes... Sometimes what we have a tendency to do is just fly through the Word of God. And this helps you to settle there. Settle there. Okay? Anybody else? Yeah?
I liked it because the Word went to your heart, not just your...
Yeah, how many of you thought, okay, this is worldly? No, this is not worldly. This is the Word of God. You know, this challenge is from the Word of God. you know, okay... how many of you thought it was strange? It was weird. Nobody? Wow. All right. How many of you liked it? Raise your hand. Okay. So, Rusty, why'd you like it?
It just kind of made you, like, it kind of gave me a challenge, I guess.
Okay. Tara, why'd you like it? Yeah, it's a direct thing. Ron, you held up your hand. Why'd you like it?
It just, I mean, I can relate it to my life. I mean, it's very, very personal.
Yeah, yeah, good. Hey, I'm not going to do this fourth one, but it's a variety of doing Lectio Divina, and I've done this where you identify with the text. And you read the text from each person's perspective. For example, I don't know if you've ever done this, but like the parable of the prodigal son. I'll tell you what, we'll do one very quickly, very quickly. Okay? In Luke 7, here's what I want you to do. In this passage, okay, in this passage, here's what I want you to do. Close your eyes. This might help. And for guys, this may be a little tough. But I'm going to read through this passage. I want you to think. This is a story of a woman who is so guilty that she washes Jesus' feet with her tears and with an incredibly expensive perfume. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes and think of this. Put yourself in the woman's place, okay? And listen to what she experiences, and I want you to follow it. Here we go, all right? Prepare to listen. Focus in on a woman who is deeply involved in sin. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet, she wept. She began to wet his feet with her tears. She was crying so hard. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed his feet, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. She is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him $500 and the other $50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both of them. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "Ah, you have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward you, the woman, and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, save loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." As the woman, how do you feel? As the woman, what have you just experienced? Okay. That's Lectio Divina, when you're taking a look from each person's perspective. The woman. And you know, you could read that again, taking a look at it from Simon the Pharisee's perspective. And then you could read it again, if we had time, we'd read it again, taking a look at it from Jesus' perspective. It's pretty cool, huh? I don't know about you, but man, I get emotional when I read that, thinking of it from the woman's perspective, that I have many sins. So I love him much more. Much more. And when he says, your faith has saved you, go in peace, I think, I can go in peace. Okay? take time to meditate on what each person felt. Meditate on what you would feel if you were that woman. Okay? That's some ideas on meditation, guys. That's some ideas on meditation. Would y'all mind handing those out? These are, hey, what we're handing out is just some of reflection. Yeah, hand them out. What did you think of the meditation exercises you experienced in Illuminate? Listening to God is at the heart of meditation. Did you hear God on this occasion? Did any of you hear from God during any of these meditation experiences? Raise your hand. Did you? Okay. Some? Okay. Was it helpful to approach God? Approach hearing God? Do you think you will continue using any of these methods? And do you have a discipline for hearing God that works better for you? Okay. So guys, we're about out of time. What did you get out of this session? We're going to have five people share. Zach. Oh, yeah. You know, like the prodigal son, you read that parable. Man, you think of it from the dad's perspective, watching his son come home, watching his son leave and then come home. You look at it from the prodigal son's perspective. Wow. You know, you look at it from the older brother's perspective. I didn't know that he was there. Yeah, the older brother. Yeah. You know, from his perspective, legalist, all that. Yeah, it changes the way you read Scripture just for your own enjoyment. Anybody else? Yeah.
It was cool when you were reading the Scripture five different times. Every time you read it with a different inflection on different parts of the Scripture, which can completely change the way you interpret it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, you. A lot of times when you're doing a Lectio Divina, you may actually have three or four different people reading. You know, so you hear the different aspects. Okay, three more people. What'd you get out of the session today? Hey, it's up to you. When do you want to leave? Three people. Yes, Devin. The desperate ones. Yes, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, two more. Ron. Good. Okay, one more. One is your hand up?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't tell what you were doing there. Okay. All right, go ahead, Blaze.
I kind of like what Ron said. I liked it because for me it's uncomfortable. And I do a Bible study all the time about being uncomfortable with God. It's good to be uncomfortable. If you're comfortable, something's wrong.
Yeah.
So me personally, I'm
good. How many of you, this is the first time you've heard a session, something on what meditation is about? This is the first time that you've experienced something like that. Raise your hands high. Don't be bashful. It's okay. All right. Good. All right, guys. Hey, don't forget to fill these out. I mean, these are something that you're going to reflect on. And hey, don't forget to pray for Blaze's dad, please. What? Okay. You're done. Thanks, guys. No, Eric Hinton. Yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy. Good. starting a what?
A prayer pocket on campus in the girls' dorm.
Yeah.
And yeah, just thought, like, you know, maybe you could advertise it out a little bit in the girls' dorm.
Talk to Eric.
Eric,
yeah. And you could put it in the campus news. Yeah. Very good. Very good. This was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, hey,